Well, we're still starting chapter 11 this evening. We're going to be starting right around verse 4. Okay? So if everyone would turn to Daniel chapter 11 and verse 4. And as we begin this evening, David Skinner, could I ask you to direct our minds in prayer? Just before class began this evening, Jonathan was mentioning how he had been reading chapter 11 and he'd been having some trouble sorting through all the history and all the pronouns and who are the pronouns referring to, and the king of the north and the king of the south. Who are all of these references referring to? So hopefully this evening we're going to start to sort that out and maybe demystify all of that. And we're going to see how chapter 11 reconciles with recorded history. The prophecies in chapter 11 are some, Jonathan, they are in fact some of the most detailed in the Bible. They were given to Daniel hundreds of years before they came to pass. Daniel's being told by an angel in detail approximately 200 years of history between two kingdoms. And he's being told about this history 200 years before it begins to happen. Whoop. Well, okay, I guess I'll have to run my program again.
Sure, we have the proper one up.
I thought we did. Okay. There we go. Okay, so what kind of detail do we have? We have detail about the partitioning of kingdoms, wars, victories, defeats, treaties, marriages, deaths, political plots. And this, all of this is predicted before the people involved in all these matters are even born. We want to focus in on this as internal evidence for the inspiration of the Scriptures. The Bible is the Word of God. Very few sections of Scripture give us a better demonstration of God's knowledge and control of the future. God not only knows history before it happens, but he's active in history to serve his purpose. And to quote from Titus 2 and 4, to redeem from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good works. His immediate purpose was to reveal to Daniel and subsequently to the Jews all that they must endure prior to the appearance of the Messiah in the fullness of time, Galatians 4 and 4. Okay. We've studied about, in Daniel, a third kingdom, that is, of Alexander the Great. And we've mentioned in class, Mickey, because of the particular chapters that he has taught, in particular, that the Empire of Alexander was divided or partitioned into four parts. So now, some of the background of that is after Alexander died, after some 11 years of world conquest, about 7 years after his death, in about 315 BC, four leaders appeared. What? Okay. Now, Antigonus, one general, Cassander, a second, Ptolemy, who is associated with Egypt, and Lysimachus, ruler of Thrace and actually also Greece. Now, Ptolemy's foremost general was Seleucus. Now, after these four generals emerged as leaders, there was an alliance formed between Ptolemy, Cassander, and Lysimachus. I got a spelling error there. To check the ambitions of Antigonus. In 301 BC, Lysimachus, Seleucus, who was now almost independent of Ptolemy, and Cassander, with their combined forces, overcame Antigonus in a particular battle. Antigonus was killed on the battlefield, and Ptolemy remained on the sidelines. Prior to this battle, it had been decided that Syria and Palestine would be assigned to Ptolemy in the event of a victory over Antigonus, but that changed because of Ptolemy's behavior. Ptolemy sat on the sidelines and didn't participate in this battle. So it was decided that the territories of Syria and Palestine should be assigned to Seleucus. Now, now we can begin to see maybe some of the reason behind all of this history in chapter 11 of Daniel. See, Ptolemy thought he all along he was going to get, he was going to gain more territory. But he didn't. So this sets up a situation of some bad feelings, or to use an old phrase, some bad blood between the Seleucids and the Ptolemies, right from the get-go, as they say. Does everyone see that? Now, I wanted to insert this map here to of the Eastern Mediterranean world and Asia Minor. In this dark yellow here, this became all of this territory, which was, from what I studied, was better than 1.2 million square miles, was given to Seleucids. So this became the Seleucid Empire here. And here are the Ptolemies over here in Egypt. They had Cyprus and part of southern Turkey. And we had, let's see, I think this tan here was perhaps Lysimachus, and then Thrace and Greece was Cassander. However, notice two things. Notice how much larger the Seleucid territory was as contrasted with the Ptolemies. And where is Palestine at on this map? Well, it's right in here, part of the Seleucid Empire with some Ptolemy influence around it. But notice that Palestine is where? It's right between the Seleucids and the Ptolemies. And there's a reason. There's a historical reason that we just saw for the Seleucids and the Ptolemies to have a problem with each other. But again, Judah is right between these two empires. Okay. Does everyone see how this history is beginning to form here?
So the Ptolemies want to get back with the Seleucids. Palestine is the very first place they're going to get to.
You see, and as a matter of logistics, they're not going to. They're not going to march armies through this desert in Arabia. Their routes to attack each other are going to be right through Palestine. That's what you're pointing out, Carolyn. Roy?
Whose land does that belong? The right of Palestine.
This?
Yeah. Who rules that? Is that all plain terrain
there? Those were Arabian tribes. Richard?
The area there is such a wilderness that it's not, it's almost inhabitable. The Jordan River to the east kind of the limit of the habitable area down in the Palestine area. Cross over the river, you have a very narrow band of water, area watered by the Jordan, and then after that, it's just barren land. If you go down there to the Red Sea area, the peninsula where the tribes wandered through after they left Egypt, if you go down there, there's not any vegetation there at all. There's rock and sand.
Just rock and sand. Even less vegetation than at Red Rock Canyon up here. David? Yeah. There was actually, I think, over this period of more than 200 years described in chapter 11 of Daniel, I think there might have been about actually six different wars that took place between the Ptolemies and the Seleucids, between these two houses. That's true. Now, so Jonathan, do you see how these situations get set up in the beginning? This is a start of all of this history that we're going to see in chapter 11. And I think I'm not doing too bad time-wise. Okay. Now, Randy, would you read verse 4 of chapter 11?
Daniel 11, verse 4. But as soon as he is risen, the kingdoms will be broken up and parceled out toward the four points of the compass, though not to his own descendants, nor according to his authority which he wielded. For his sovereignty will be uprooted and given to others beside him.
Okay. Now, in commenting on verse 4, Alexander's kingdom didn't go to his posterity. Alexander married a Persian, Roxana. Roxana and their son, Alexander the Fourth, was murdered, and they were murdered in 310 BC, and Alexander's illegitimate brother had already been killed in 317 BC. There were no lineal or no blood descendants of Alexander the Great. So as Randy read, Randy, read the part of the verse again about posterity.
Though not to his own But as soon as he is risen, his kingdom will be broken up and parceled out toward the four points of the compass, though not to his own descendants, nor according to his authority which he wielded.
Okay.
His sovereignty will be uprooted and given to others beside that.
Okay, so his kingdom would be uprooted. It would be partitioned into four parts, which is what happened under four different generals. The kingdom did not go to any posterity, any descendant of Alexander the Great. There were no blood descendants of Alexander as the book of Daniel predicted. Instead, it was divided into four parts among Lysicimus. I should have just said Cassander there. Seleucus. Okay, Seleucus the first Nicator. He is the first ruler of the Seleucid Empire, and Ptolemy the first Soter, the first ruler of the Ptolemy Empire. So we see these points in verse 4 about the partitioning of the kingdom and about who is going to inherit the kingdom. We see those. We see how those were fulfilled in recorded history. Now, in order to try and Jonathan, in order to try and maybe demystify some of this history, what I've tried to do is indicate some paraphrasing of verses 5 through 9 to remove all the stuff about the pronouns and the kings of the north and the kings of the south, okay? But to paraphrase, and that's all it is, okay? And the king of Egypt shall be strong, and his favorite general shall be stronger than he is, and shall reign over a larger dominion. And after the expiration of a course of years, alliances will be formed between the successors of these two. To carry out the terms of the agreements, the daughter of the king of Egypt will go to the king of Syria as his wife. Remember I said early on in a slide that there are predictions about marriages, about political plots. The king of Syria himself shall not last long as a consequence of his promiscuous actions toward his wives. We'll get to that. One of the blood relatives of the king of Egypt's daughter will stand in the place of the king of Egypt, and he shall come against the army of the king of Syria. He shall even enter the fortified territories of the king of Syria. He will do according to his will and deal with those who murdered his sister. Again, predictions of political plots and predictions of deaths and marriages and agreements. And the last slide for paraphrasing, verses 5 through 9. He will rob their temples and carry their gods of silver and gold back to Egypt. He shall refrain some years from attacking the king of Syria. But the king of Syria will march against the king of Egypt, but he shall be completely defeated and retreat to his own land. Now this is just a way of paraphrasing verses 5 through 9. Carolyn? Oh, thank you.
Well, we need to call it a paraphrase, though. You're not, well, that, to me, that's just rewording
what okay.
You've expanded on it. There's nothing in here about the murder of anybody.
Well, wait till we get to that verse.
Well, no, I mean, you just pass it in the slide.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
I'm saying. You're adding some historical information.
Right, but I believe we can show that same historical information in that particular verse when we get to it. Maybe. Okay. Okay, Randy, I'm going to use you tonight. Would you read verse 5?
Daniel 11, verse 5. Then the king of the south will grow strong along with one of his princes who will gain ascendancy over him and obtain dominion. His domain will be a great dominion indeed.
Okay. His dominion will be a great dominion indeed. Okay, now, Well, I'll use this one. Okay. I believe verse 5 is talking about the first two kings in all of this historical narrative. This prophecy concerns Ptolemy and Seleucus. When Antigonus was defeated and Ptolemy let Seleucus do his fighting, the other generals of Alexander decided Seleucus should be sovereign over Syria and Palestine. As a matter of historical fact, the empire of the Seleucids did greatly exceed that of the Ptolemies. Okay? Randy, what did it say again about his domain?
His domain will be a great dominion indeed.
Okay, and it would be larger?
It says the king of the south will grow strong along with one of his princes who will gain ascendancy over him.
Okay. Shall obtain ascendancy over him, and his domain will be a great domain. Well, notice that Seleucid, his domain did become larger than that of Ptolemy. Randy?
What you're showing there in the yellow. That's the
yes.
Isn't that pretty much the same exact borders of the Persian Empire?
No. The Persian Empire did extend over to the Bosporus over here and cover the coast of Turkey. Yeah.
But as far as the eastern portion?
But as far as the eastern portion is concerned, you're primarily correct, yes. Now, now, let's see. Carolyn, maybe I did add that in about the murder of the murder plot by, we'll see, by a woman named Laodice. Richard?
I was going to say at the end of verse 6, toward the end of verse 6, various versions use the words she will be given up and such like as that. But some of the versions say that she and her husband, her children, will be killed.
Okay. Okay, does everyone see, though, how that from verse 5, this is a reference to the Seleucids having a larger kingdom than the Ptolemies? And that, as it states in verse 5, and the king of the south shall be strong, the king of the south, here in Egypt, or the Ptolemies, the king of the south, and one of his princes, his general, Seleucid, his favorite general, and he shall be strong above him. Remember, it was Seleucid who participated in the battle against Antigonus. Ptolemy did nothing. He sat on the sidelines. And have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. His dominion, the Seleucid dominion, was much larger in territory than the Ptolemies. Randy?
So is this just kind of verse 5 that is passing over the whole Antigonus thing? I mean, because Seleucid was proclaimed king by the other generals over this area, that he was sovereign over this area after Antigonus was beaten. I mean, historically,
Yeah, he was, because of Seleucid's participation, it was decided by the generals to give the territory of Syria and Palestine to the Seleucids instead of going to the Ptolemies. David?
Yeah, in some history books you read about it, and the generals also did that to keep Alvin.
Yes, quite an empire. If it would have included Egypt and Cyprus, and then it would have been half of modern-day Turkey, virtually. And the trade route here. So, yes. Yeah, it is. Yes. Okay. Okay, but the point that I want to make with this is that we're seeing these historical events revealed to Daniel hundreds of years before they occur. Did you have another question, Randy? Oh. Go ahead.
Since you get enough to Daniel 11:6. And after some years they will form an alliance, and the daughter of the king of the south will come to the king of the north to carry out a peaceful arrangement. But she will not retain her position of power, nor will he remain with his power. But she will be given up along with those who brought her in, and the one who sired her, as well as he who supported her in those times.
Okay. Now, in verse 6, Ptolemy the first was succeeded by his son, Ptolemy the second, Philadelphius, in 283 BC. The original ruler of the Seleucids was murdered and succeeded by his son, Antiochus the first. Then in 275 BC, Ptolemy the second invaded Syria and was repulsed by the Seleucid forces. Ptolemy's naval power enabled him to prolong the war. Hostilities ceased around 271 BC without a decisive victory for either side, when Antiochus II succeeded his father to the Syrian throne. War broke out again. The results were indecisive, and peace was concluded in 252 BC. Now, Randy, go ahead and read verse 7. Okay. Now, with that previous historical background that I had up there, this woman named Berenice was the daughter of Ptolemy II, the daughter of the king of the south, okay? And she was married to Antiochus II for political purposes. Notice in verse 6 that it says, "And at the end of years they shall join themselves together, and the daughter of the king of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement." There was a marriage for political purposes. 2 years later, so there's this marriage for political purposes, but as part of recorded history, Antiochus was already married to a woman named Laodice and had two sons. They had two sons, Seleucus, Callinicus, and Antiochus. 2 years later, Ptolemy II died, and Antiochus divorced. So now, you know, the ruler of Egypt, the ruler of the south, dies. So now, Antiochus kind of feels like he's kind of free to get out of this arrangement, this marriage for political purposes. So he divorces Berenice and he takes back his first wife, Laodice. And Laodice, fearing her husband might return to Berenice, had him poisoned and had her sons Seleucus murder both Berenice and her infant. And thus, Seleucus obtained the throne for himself. And notice that verse 6 says, "But she shall not retain the strength of her arm, neither shall he stand, nor his arm, but she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in those times." So, Berenice's father dies, and the king of the north is poisoned by Berenice and her infant is also poisoned, thus obtaining the throne for himself, Seleucus. Now, Randy, read verses 6 and 7 again.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
I'll do that in a second.
And we'll go through this.
Ptolemy II, Berenice's father.
Right.
Do you know how he died?
No.
Right. Verse 6 says, "Surely given up along with those who brought her in, the one who sired her." Makes it sound like he was killed too. But that doesn't make a reference to how he died.
No, I didn't didn't have any historical reference to how he died.
Just, do we know whether he died first and then and two divorces?
He died first. And then Antiochus went about the business of divorcing Berenice, taking back Laodice, taking back his first wife. And then Laodice was fearful that Antiochus would return to Berenice. And so Laodice had Antiochus poisoned and had her son Seleucus murder Berenice and her infant. So they couldn't make any claim to the throne either if they were murdered.
What did he do with Laodice when he married Berenice? Did he divorce her? This wasn't at the time.
Yes. He divorced her. Yes. But, yes, read verses 6 and 7 again.
And after some years they will form an alliance, and the daughter of the king of the south will come to the king of the north to carry out a peaceful arrangement.
Okay. So everybody sees in what Randy just read, there's this arrangement for a political marriage, right? We can all see that in what Randy just read in verse 6. Keep going.
But she will not retain her position of power, nor will he remain with his power. She will be given up along with those who brought her in and the one who sired her, as well as he who supported her in those times.
Okay. Okay, Randy, I'm sorry, but let me have you back up and read that. Start again and read that very slowly.
But she will not retain her position of power.
She will not retain her position of power. Who's that talking about? Okay. Okay. She will not retain her position of power. What happened to Berenice? She died. Okay.
Well, that's talking about the divorce.
She was divorced.
Yeah. Okay.
Nor will he remain with his power.
And who's the he? The king. Yes, it did, as we can see from recorded history. Okay, Randy, could you pick up again?
He will remain with his power.
Uh-huh.
But she will be given up.
She will be given up.
That's when Richard said some versions actually say killed.
Yeah, but she will be killed. So, I'm sorry, that's where I jumped in. I thought we were referring to Berenice there for a second. Carolyn, when I did that earlier.
She will be given up along with those who brought her in.
Along with those who brought her in. Okay. Ptolemy. Even though Ptolemy died, and it is true, I wasn't able to research how Ptolemy died.
But she will be given up along with those who brought her in.
Mm-hmm.
What seems to me is that, you know, royalty always travels with
people. Now, remember I made the statement that these prophecies are made in detail, right? Do we see this starting out here at the beginning of at the start of chapter 11, how much detail is prophesied? Richard?
I'm going to say in one of the strange versions. I've got like 27 versions here. I think I found five of them that said that she was killed. All right. So in the contemporary English version, it says after she will lose her power, it says then she, her husband, their child, and the servants who came with her will all be killed.
Okay.
That's how it's.
And that is what happened in recorded history. I mean, I could refer to her servants. Yes, Roy?
So what was the time difference between the prophecy and what actually happened?
Between this, the prophecy, and when this actually happened, 200 plus years. Maybe 220 years, 230 years in that time frame, Richard?
I'm going to say by the biography of Ptolemy II that I'm looking up here on the internet indicates that he died in 246 B.C.
Same.
Okay.
246 B.C.
246 B.C.
That's when
Hittite
II died.
Yeah.
It's just coincidence.
Okay. Now, Randy, in verse 7, let's look at just the first part of verse 7 here. But, okay, I was going to try and get to one more example. And he that strengthened her in those times. I think those two phrases are referring to the same person, he that begat her and he that strengthened her in those times. I think that would have been Ptolemy. But he that begat her certainly would have been Ptolemy. Jonathan?
In some older phrases, I think some of the references to the wives of Jacob, but they refer to their children as those that strengthen them or bring them strength, because it gives them more power and say to the husband. He shows more attention. Samuel's mother, the one who gave him up, Samuel's mother,
yeah,
said that that was her strength, and her husband showed her favor because of the children that she had after that. So that could be referring to her son.
Okay. As the one who strengthened her.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. No, I just had this next example of the phrase there in verse 7 of one of the shoots from her roots, as to how that was in particular fulfilled in recorded history.
I have a question for
you. Okay.
In your second sentence.
Yeah.
It says in 235 BC, the following year, there are commas.
Yeah, probably so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.